Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. I'm Pam Spencer, along with Darren Schulman and Gage Telez, and we are going to go over some of the games, recent games at the Columbus Blue Jackets. We also talk all kinds of hockey. I like to mention the NCAA and how the OSU Buckeyes men's and women's teams are doing, and lots of action in high school hockey right now, so we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But we usually start the show with a rule, and Darren is our rules guru. He gives us some information and tries to quiz us and give us a grade on how we do as far as the rules are concerned for the NHL. So Darren, what do you have for us this week?
I have a repeat rule that is a fascinating rule that we did, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. And although we have done it, I'm 99% sure you're still going to get a very poor grade.
Uh-oh.
It's a tough one. So we've talked about this before, and one of the most fascinating things I find about hockey is when they're doing the face-off and the ref, like, kicks somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to figure out, like, what are you supposed to be doing and why is that happening? So to make it easy on you, what are the four types of face-off violations?
giving a snarky look to the referee.
Too early? Too late?
Yeah, too early or too late. I know there's a rule in regards to, I actually will watch the face off and wonder, okay, how did he break it? Because I think it's either that they're not allowed to put the stick on the ice. It has to be hovering just above the ice, if I remember correctly. And I don't know what the other ones are.
Yes. You guys are close. I'm going to give you an A for effort, but not a great score normally, because this one is hard.
Okay.
So let's go with the two easy ones that I don't think we see a lot.
All right.
The first violation is encroachment by a player other than the center into the face-off area before being dropped. So you have that face-off circle. They're all kind of waiting around it. Mm-hmm. If one of the other guys comes into that circle, that's a violation. I don't think we really see that very often,
no.
Although I haven't watched for that.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is encroachment by any player into the area between the hash marks on the outer edges of the face-off circle prior to the puck being dropped. Again, that's similar to the other one. There's some hashes over there, and I don't think other players are jumping in there early, so I don't think we have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ones I think we do see.
Okay.
Any physical contact with an opponent prior to the puck being dropped. So I do sometimes see dudes jostling each other on that outside of that circle, or maybe the centers are getting a little too close to each other and bumping each other. So that is a violation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the one that you were referring to is, okay, this is going to be in detail here.
Okay.
Failure by either center taking the faceoff to properly position himself behind the restraining lines or place his stick on the ice.
That's it.
So
that's the one I always remember.
You're supposed to put your stick on the ice. So proper position means the center places his feet on either side of the restraining lines parallel to the sideboards.
Okay.
And the toe of the blade of his skates must not cross over the line.
Oh.
The blade of the stick must then be placed on the ice in the designated white area of the faceoff spot and must remain there until the puck is dropped. So I think what we're mostly seeing is people not putting their puck down in time or lifting it up.
But,
stick.
Yeah, the stick. So the rule requires that your stick be on the ice.
Yes.
And what I see is that they've got it hovering, which is not what they're supposed to do. So they get bounced out. They get kicked out.
Yes.
And then
that's why
they switch.
And then they make someone else come in. So I think it's always fascinating to see, because you're like, what do they do? You really have to pay attention.
Right.
So I guess my lesson to everyone is, forget the stuff about the circle. I don't think we have to worry about that. Look at the stick.
Uh-huh.
See if you can figure it out.
Right.
From there.
Well, and then I didn't realize there were marks there that they have to stay behind. I guess I haven't looked close enough. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look closer next game,
too.
Maybe that's part of it. Because, you know, the face-off is such an important part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it dictates what can happen. If you're on your own end and the offense gets it, they've got a much better opportunity to score. If you're trying to score at the end of the game and you just have to win that one face-off to get your last shot off. So I think they're really trying to get every advantage they can.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it sounds like we were talking off the air before we hit the air here that some of us have tickets for how many games do you have tickets for, Darren?
I've got the game coming up next Thursday.
Okay.
I will be there. I mean, I have a half season, so but that's the next one I have.
Okay. And then Gage, did you say you have several games between now and the first of the year?
Yep. So I took advantage of their Cyber Monday deal.
Okay.
Because remember, I like to sit upper bowl.
Right.
And I missed out on the season tickets this year, so I'm stuck, you know, buying per game here, but I managed to get like four tickets. So I'm going to three games this month and then one game in January that I have tickets for. I'll be going to the one on December 10th and then 12th and 14th. Mm-hmm.
The only reason I ask, and I'm going to mention this, is bluejackets.com/holidays will give you everything you need to know about Stinger Santa, the real Santa, the Santa sleigh, and reindeer will be out front of on the plaza. There is crazy sweaters. What do they call it? Christmas sweaters.
Yeah. Ugly sweaters.
Ugly sweaters. That's it. They've got an ugly sweater night coming up. They've got several things that are involved with the Blue Jackets Foundation that you can bid on and whatnot. There's just a whole lot of holiday things going on over the next five games. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone, if you have tickets or you're thinking about buying tickets for the remainder of December through Christmas, I would say bluejackets.com/holidays will give you the details of what's going on at the arena that would be fun for the kids. They've got the CBJ frame set up. They've got, there was one more thing. I forgot to bring the sheet in here. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of different things that would be fun for the kids as well as the adults leading up. And the pictures, there's Stinger Santa pictures that are going to be at the 117 area. And those are for the foundation. I think it's $10 or something like that.
Yeah, $10.
And then later, like the first few games, they're going to have that. Then the later games, they're going to have the real Santa is going to be there to do pictures. And you can take those for free with your own phone. So
you
better not be naughty. Santa's going to be there. The real deal, man.
Hey, I've seen the movie Red One. We don't want to tell people it's the real Santa or they might try to kidnap him.
Oh, no. Well, the sleigh and reindeer is going to be waiting outside for him. I think it's the real guy.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Could be.
That's what they're saying. So let's start delving into some of these games that we haven't talked about. If you want to go back, I've got notes back to July. That's funny. November 29th. Yeah. Did you say where there was a couple before that we haven't talked about?
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
There was one additional, technically three additional games.
All right.
Because last time we talked to you was on the 22nd. Blue Jackets had a nice overtime win, shootout win against the Carolina Hurricanes on the 23rd. 5-4 was the final score on that one. So that was an amazing winning streak there that the Jackets had, because remember, we beat the Bruins and the Lightning just a couple of days before that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a rematch with the Canadiens, and it didn't go our way. We still got a point from it, though, because we did go into overtime. 4-3 final score, losing to Canadiens, but we still get a point, because remember, in hockey, if you go into overtime, even though you don't win the game, you still get a point out of it. So that's still benefited.
Just for the record, isn't that what I jokingly predicted, that we would beat the hard team and then lose to the bad
you
team?
Did. We did talk about that.
In fact, yes, you did, Darren. And I was thinking of you exactly when we lost that game.
I know I'm not happy about being right, but I was like, this is just what the Blue Jackets are going to do to me this year.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, the one after that, we beat the Flames. And what's interesting about this game in particular is there was a lot of fights. And Pam, you know, I went to Florida for the Thanksgiving holiday. You were actually texting me updates because I couldn't get the game down there.
I was working the game, yes.
Yeah, and you said Elvis Presleykins got into it, too?
Elvis even got into a tussle with one of the players because they were in his paint. and Olivier was in two or three fights, and that was
That's
a heck
normal.
Of a game. We beat the Flames 5-2.
And then, you know, then we were on the road again because, remember, the Jackets, we kind of have a – I don't know what it is, but we do have a slight issue on the road, but we did beat Chicago Blackhawks 6-3. We did have an empty net goal there at the very end because Chicago did go empty net because they were down by 2 in the third period, but the final score for that one was 6-3, defeating the Blackhawks.
Can you look something up? I thought, didn't we talk about the fact that they let their coach go? And then I just saw something in the last 12 hours about another coach let go with the Blackhawks.
Boston let their coach go after
That's what it was.
Yep.
Okay, well, the Blackhawks let their coach go this morning as of this recording. Oh, yes.
Wow.
I just saw that this morning. I didn't click on the headline to read the story, but I saw it.
Well, you know, and for the Blackhawks, they've been on a losing streak, so that could explain something.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. And that's the second time, you know, midway through, not even midway through the season.
We're not even to the midway point. No.
Yeah. And
getting there, but.
Bruins got rid of their coach, and
that's
same
right.
with the Blackhawks.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, very interesting one. And then two more games for you. On December 3rd, we had another rematch against the Flames, but we lost that one 0-3. But I still want to mention that game because that was a great night that they honored again Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew. That was very, very cool to see his family there. So we lost, unfortunately, on that game. Mm-hmm. And then another road game against the Oilers, losing that one 6-3. And then another one tonight, back-to-back against the Canucks. Mm-hmm. It's that West Coast, you know, swing that you say before 10 p.m. as of recording this tonight. Jackets on the road for two more games before back at home on December 10th against the Flyers.
December 10th. And December 10th is when all of the home games will feature these holiday things that I was talking about. So, so Darren, do you have any thoughts, comments on these half a dozen or so games that we've been talking about?
Yes. So, as I said before, the Montreal game's kind of a killer because we got to win those if we're going to be a legit team. These other Canadian teams that we're playing, they're all good teams. I don't have Calgary's record in front of me, but Winnipeg, Vancouver, they're all solid offensive teams that there's no shame in losing to them. I'd like to see us steal a couple like we did from Carolina, but it's not necessarily as bad of a sign as it seems. The West Coast trips are hard for us, too. So I'm not disillusioned yet.
Yeah, and the
are
Flames
the Jets,
record, by the way, 13-9 with 31 points. So
are
they're ranked
Jets
number three.
Still the number one team on your. I don't have it open.
Actually, no. The Minnesota Wild is now the number one in the Central Division. They're sitting at 17-4 with 30. Well, technically, they are kind of tied with Winnipeg because they're both sitting at 38 points right now. Winnipeg's still 19-8, Wild 17-4, so technically kind of tied for that top spot. But as of right now, in the Central Division, the Wild is holding that top spot.
Okay.
Speaking of the Wild, can we talk about that trade we just did?
Yes.
I don't know what I feel about it. I'm kind of conflicted.
Me too. But
do you have the actual terms in front of you? I know it was like Jurecek for a bunch of picks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that. I didn't see that coming. I'm not really sure what happened there.
He's like the sixth overall pick like 2 years ago, and all of a sudden he went from that to being dumped for. Now, we got a first rounder, but it's from Minnesota, who, as Gage just said, they're number one right now, so that pick's not as good as obviously the pick we used to get him. I think we threw in a fifth, and we got a future second, and maybe a seventh or something, but basically it's a first and a second, I think, is what the big haul was from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that, Gage? I mean, I don't like it when you give up on a pick that early, but maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah. I mean, I would pretty much say the same thing you said. I mean, there's something that they know
we must not.
We must not, that would give the confidence in pursuing with that move. And, and this goes for any team, not just hockey, but any team. You know, you see these mid-season trades, like during the NFL, you know, all that. And some people are questioning, why would you do that? You know, but again, there's something about that they know into that player that we don't. And the only way for us to find out is find out on
let
the
it
ice.
Play out.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes, I think some of these changes may have something to do with, you know, maybe they just don't really care for the town once they're here a while and they'd rather be in another town, or they don't feel like they're clicking with this team. Line A is a prime example. I mean, he was touted as an amazing player, but it just didn't work here.
No.
And now he's hurt, so I don't even know if he's going to get a chance to play again. We'll have to wait and see, but
I think he's back. I think he just came back.
Yeah, did he? Okay.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's any good.
Right.
The only thing I would say, I guess this is the last regime that drafted that guy, but I always hate it when you flub a pick so bad. You know, I mean, top 10 picks are pretty valuable, and it's kind of indictment on your own drafting, but I guess this is under the Yarmo era, so maybe they're just going to turn the page.
Well, and they do get a chance to see how these young men, especially earlier in their career, they're most of the time they're going to be up at the Cleveland Monsters. So we have our people, if you will, the Blue Jackets have their people at those games watching these young players. So I think they're seeing something there in that young man that, you know, it's just, it's not working for him here. Let's trade him. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the good thing we get out of this is, you know, we get a third round and fourth round picks in 2026. And then in 2027, we get a second round pick out of that. And then a first round pick in 2025. So, you know, it's really hard to tell. You know, sometimes teams, and you got to look at it this way. Sure, maybe the young man, there wasn't really any much problems with the young man. Maybe just they looked at their opportunities and said, you know, we hate to let this guy go, but we get, get a first pick, 2025, third round in 2026, second round in 2027. Like, that's kind of pretty good, to be honest. Right. But then again, if you are the player, you kind of... Yeah, it's sad to see that, oh, well, they traded me away because of a pick. That means I'm not important.
But he may have wanted to move on. Right. We don't know. Right. We don't have any way of knowing.
Exactly. Well, I think he was getting annoyed. I read he had been shuttled up and down between the Monsters and the Blue Jackets.
Yes, he had.
And apparently they told him when they moved him up, go ahead and get an apartment here in Columbus, which he took to mean, like, I'm going to be here the rest of the season. Okay. And then they sent him down again. Mm-hmm. So he was annoyed. And then when he was up here, he was getting healthy scratches a lot of games. Mm. So... And not a lot of playing time. So I think he was getting annoyed. Well, now, did the Blue Jackets mishandle that, or did he just wasn't very good? I don't know. But
yeah.
Well, that's it.
I think he's happy to be gone. Do you root for a guy who gets traded like that to the new team, or do you root that he's bad so it looks like we got a good deal?
No, I wouldn't root that they're bad.
No. I mean, I'll tell you right now, there is no bad player on any team, all right? And sure, there's a player that may not be doing well compared to others, yes, but if I'm just going to sit here and say you're a bad player, like that's not, you know, first of all, that's not great sportsmanship. But
you guys are so nice and positive.
Oh, wait, I'm waiting for him to take a breath because I'm about to talk about Jack Johnson.
Yeah, I know how your thoughts are. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was here and he wasn't playing very well at all. And he took off for Pittsburgh. Yeah. Then he got moved two or three times. Now suddenly he's back and he's happy to be here. And I'm like, yeah, show me on the ice, buddy. Show me.
So here is my story on Jack Johnson. He was speaking at a season ticket holder event, and I took Marcia to it, and I still remember that was the day that I proposed to her after that event. So Jack Johnson is always kind of like a warm spot, but you are correct, Pam.
Yeah.
When he went to Pittsburgh, he did trash the Blue Jackets after he left.
Well, and he played poorly the year before he went to Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
Come on,
man. He talked about culture and all that stuff, so... I get your perspective there, but I do have a soft spot for Jack Johnson.
Okay. let's take a break for just a minute on the Blue Jacket stuff because I want to get this all in, and time is flying by with the show here. Number 17, OSU men in the NCAA ice hockey. They are 9-4-1, and Penn State is in town this weekend at Value City Arena against the men's team. Number 2, OSU women, they're still hanging in there at number 2, 13-4-2 for the season, and they are on a winter break until January 2nd. OHSAA high school hockey, the CapitalHockeyConference.com, CapitalHockeyConference.com. You can see the schedule of the weekend games there. In the red division, it's Upper Arlington, Olentangy, St. Charles, New Albany, Cincinnati Moeller, Olentangy Berlin, and Olentangy Liberty in that order. In the white division, Dublin Kaufman, Dublin Jerome, Olentangy Orange, and St. Xavier. And then in the blue division, it's Bishop Watterson, Worthington Kilbourne, Gahanna Lincoln, and Thomas Worthington. In those orders right now, those are the kids who are playing the OHSAA hockey. Now, there is also club hockey going on all over the state of Ohio, Ohio Scholastic Hockey Leagues, and that is GCHSCHL.net, and they play at multiple locations statewide, all of the chiller locations, the Ice House at Nationwide Arena. There's a rink in the Springfield-Dayton area, and I think two down at Cincinnati. The Dayton Gold and Silver Team, Columbus Ice Hockey Club, Dublin Irish, Westerville Warcats, PHA Prowlers, Groveport, And that is, or I should say the PHA Prowlers is Pickerington, Groveport, and other South and Southeast Ohio schools. The Northeast Storm, the Athens Bobcats, the Miami Redhawks, the Hilliard Wildcats, and the Newark Generals, they are all in week two play. And again, if you go to that website, which is GCHSCHL.net, you will find all of the schedules for the local club teams, and those kids are working hard and enjoying their season as well.
Can I just say, yes. Last night Ohio State played Penn State, right? They shut them out 4-0.
Good.
4-0.
The men are 17th in the NCAA right now, and they need to climb.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was impressive because, I mean, the first period was uneventful, 0-0, but Ohio State got two up on the board in the second period, and in the third period, they got two more up, and then Penn State tried to do a empty net, but it didn't work out that way. Mm-hmm. But 4-0, Ohio State over Penn State, and they play them again tonight at 7 p.m. So
that's
looking
right.
forward to that.
Yes. So we just kind of try to keep tabs on the NCAA stuff for OSU. And then, of course, there's two different leagues going with high school hockey. We talk about the OHSAA and then Ohio Scholastic Hockey League. So I just think hockey is a really cool sport, and I'm thrilled to be able to share how the kids are doing.
Yeah.
Dan is the number one supporter of non-professional hockey in Ohio. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I will say this. I have not been to, and I should. I should go to a Monsters game. I need to go to a, what's the Cincinnati Cyclones?
Cyclones.
Yes. Cyclones.
Yeah, I understand they have a really cool environment. There is the Toledo, oh gosh, I should have this in front of me, but I don't. There's Toledo and Youngstown. Youngstown Phantoms, maybe? I forget what Toledo is. Oh, well, anyway.
Toledo, it's not the Rockets, is it?
It's ECHL hockey, and we also have, and I don't have it on my sheet here, Columbus Mavericks.
Oh,
they
yeah.
play at the OSU Chiller, which is OSU Chiller North, mm-hmm. right behind the Walmart at 23 and Powell Road, the Columbus Mavericks. This is all, that's junior hockey. And then ECHL would be the next step, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
Then
I mean,
that's minor league.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a low-level minor
yeah.
league, I think.
So juniors, then minor, then Columbus Monsters is AHL. And those teams are affiliated with NHL teams. So it's the minor leagues. AHL is the minor leagues. ECHL is before the minor leagues. I'm not even sure what to call that other than ECHL. But there's so much
yeah,
hockey going on.
And I think they can loan some players to those. I mean, maybe it's different now. I used to be able to like send a couple players down. Like it's not like a baseball where they're all part of that team, but I think they can send a couple down there to get experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a lot of hockey going on, and yes, I like to promote what's going on at the high school level and beyond, because I don't know if people realize just how much hockey is being played in this state. You
yes.
think of Minnesota, and you think of Canada, and all of the, Tampa, all of the towns, in the Canadian area where hockey is considered to, that's the heart of hockey.
Sure.
But there's so much hockey going on in Ohio, and people don't even realize it.
Well, and I'm glad you follow that good stuff. And, yeah. I'm going to start doing that, too, because you think about it. Where did these players come from at the
right.
end of the day?
Yeah, they came from somewhere.
They came
from... Yeah, they played as little kids.
Exactly.
Yep, and, the Pee-wees at Nationwide Arena. Yeah.
Exactly. And, I encourage people to watch Ohio State's hockey, mm-hmm. watch all these high school kids, because you just never know in a few years... they might end up on the NHL.
Oh, yeah. There's been several players from Central Ohio
exactly.
that are playing in the big leagues right now in the NHL.
Exactly. Like I said, shout out to my cousin because my cousin is a player right now, and I told him that he needs to come to Columbus.
Yeah.
But, of course, his primary pick is Pittsburgh because, again, my family's from Pittsburgh. But I said, hey, we could use you here in Columbus. We need some butt kicking down here like what Olivier likes to do.
You're making me wonder. I wonder how many minor league and junior league and what have you teams there there are in various states, because I'm sure the Boston area probably has, and New York has multiple teams. Upstate New York, you've got a lot
of
people.
Minnesota has a lot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so. And we're talking just Ohio, all these teams.
All these teams just in Ohio.
Yeah, it could
imagine
be way more.
What they have in other states, exactly. Yeah. So.
Now, I think, you know, I know you guys are trumpeting the genius of Ohio, but Canada has like a bazillion leagues.
Oh, I'll bet they do.
So many levels, and it's crazy if you watch them.
I just wonder how many people realize there are beer leagues. That's what they jokingly call, adult leagues of hockey going on at all the chiller locations and at the Ice House downtown at Nationwide Arena. The Ice House, which is the other rink under the roof of Nationwide Arena. It's on the backside.
Yeah.
There is hockey going on that ice almost 24/7.
Yeah, every single day.
Every single day.
And you just got to think about it. Yes. Like, shout out to those Zamboni drivers keeping that ice conditioned.
And the referees. They're just regular guys who happen to be able to skate.
And real quick, I got to say, every time the referees come out, everyone boos them, right? All right, sure. You know, I do the same thing. Sure, boo. There's bad calls. That happens everywhere, right? But you got to understand, when you're those guys, you're making calls at real time.
Split second.
And then, sure, if it was a very bad call, you're going to get called out for it. Yeah. Sure, if it's obvious. But, I still respect them for what they do and keeping the ice and the team safe, and holding teams accountable for things that happen. Sure, we boom when they come out, but they got a job to
do. Well, let me just wrap this whole thing up with as far as all of the other hockey that's going on besides NHL. I just want to mention, and I know I'm plugging this, I work for the arena, but I don't work for the Blue Jackets. I work for the arena as an usher, but I want to mention that the Blue Jackets do a great job of coming out into the public and trying to draw small children, I think up through the age of, I think it's 9, if you join the leagues at the through the Columbus Blue Jackets, you will get all the gear to get started.
Oh, good.
And of course, that's child-sized stuff. I'm thinking it's 9.
Trying to convince Parker to do it, but she won't. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to fall down. I'm like, well, you're going to fall down.
Is she skating yet?
No, she's not.
Well, first of all, you need to take her skating.
Yeah, take her to the chiller, and that'll change her mind.
Of it. I mean, her age is perfect for starting to learn to skate.
Yeah.
So, I know. I'm a bad dad.
No, I'm just saying. And the chiller locations, there's 3 of them centrally, and there's 2 or 3 other rinks around town too. So,
there is.
If your kid has any interest at all in the game, you got to get them on the ice first to at least figure out how to skate.
Yes.
And that's the fun part, is learning to skate. And then beyond that, if they do have an interest in the actual game, the Blue Jackets encourage you to get involved in their leagues, because there are opportunities for you to get that initial set of gear and try it.
Mm-hmm.
So
try it out. You never know where it may end up.
I think it's wonderful. I really think it's wonderful.
So. I agree.
All right, guys, we got just a couple more minutes. So last thoughts on the Blue Jackets, on the NHL, anything else?
Well, like I said before, we got a game coming up tonight against the Canucks. So it's that West Coast swing again, 10 p.m. Tonight, December 6th. And then on the same weekend, on December 8th, we play the Jets again. And, very, very challenging team, as they're number 2 right now in the Western Division. So that one at 6 p.m. If I had to bet, I don't think we're going to win against those two. I could be surprising. Like Darren said, it's the Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I am looking forward to seeing them back at home on December 10th against Philadelphia. What about you, Darren?
I'm interested to see if this trade is a sign that we might be shuffling our roster with some more trades, or if that was sort of a one-off situation. I love the hot stove league, as they say, with what they call trade season. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see if we're going to move some more pieces, try to get some more draft picks.
Look at the numbers for me, if you have that still open. I don't remember who was saying this, whether it was you, Gage, or someone else was referencing the fact that we're only 2 points. Maybe I read it somewhere. We're only 2 points out of contention to be in the playoffs. And I know we're not even to the midway point, so that's way early to be thinking about it. But is that still true?
Yeah, I mean, we're Jackets are sitting at 25 points right now, 11-11 overall season. We are just behind Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's at 26. We're at 25. We're kind of tied with the Islanders right now at 25. But, yeah, we're not that far away.
See, that's how quickly it can change. Yes. Think about it. If we have a few games where we get a streak going and Pittsburgh doesn't, which is possible this year because they're not playing the way they were playing a couple of years ago, then you're in contention. So.
Right, and then Philadelphia is about, they're at 27, so they're 2 points ahead of us as well. So,
all right, guys, thanks so much. You've been listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk, and we'll be back real soon. Have a great weekend.